Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
The reality of what we have to do, and I've started this process. We all have to do it. You have to move your money. Get it out of these multinational banks that are... Listen, if you want to understand what happened in Egypt, what happened in Egypt, Tunisia, Syria, all these places, it's directly related to what happened on Wall Street. Because the commodities market zoomed up because all the real estate was collapsing, and so they start putting their money into commodities. Commodities go up, and suddenly the Egyptian, who was paying 25% of his income for food, is now paying 45% of his income for food, and he can't afford it. And they're literally starving. This is happening in many, many places around the world. People are suffering from this unjust economic system that has to be identified. The culprits behind it need to be identified because these are real people. They have names. And they're doing things that are completely immoral. They're doing things that are absolutely immoral, and we are all suffering from it. Canada's been spared a lot of this egregiousness because there were much better fiscal policies here, but don't think that you're free from it. And the other thing is, if we go, you go. So you better hope that, because 80% of your economy is tied to our economy, and you should know that. So don't get high and mighty. Like I put maple syrup, I use it on my oatmeal. Canada imported. So I'm supporting Canadian economy in my own house. What you can do is move your money, but that's only a temporary solution. Muslims need to develop their own banking systems. Anybody can open a bank if they have a charter. It's not hard to do. And banking is the biggest scam that's ever been perpetrated on people. Really, if you understand banking, you will be amazed at what they get away with, because this is the only private company that can create money out of nothing. We all have to earn our money. They just literally create it out of nothing. And so you need to understand, we as a community need to open banks, but they can't be like some of these shifty, shady things that are going on, Sharia compliant, quote unquote, right? And Canada has already tasted the bitter brunt of that, all right? So we have to, really, we have our own banks. The other thing that we can do, we have over 50,000 doctors in the United States of America, and you've got many Muslim doctors, 50,000 Muslim doctors. And I've said this before, but when an American comedian on national TV said, I went to my doctor and he said, face Mecca and cough, and everybody in the audience laughed, you know that Muslim doctors are having an impact on this society. People put their lives in the hands of Muslim doctors every day. Muslim doctors are paying hundreds of millions of dollars in insurance every month. Who are they paying it to? They're paying it to Blue Cross. I thought we didn't believe in crosses. Really, they're paying it to mutual insurance. They're paying it to all these companies. We have a system called Takaful, which is superior to this insurance system, where you're investing your money. And then if something happens, then the money comes out of that. This is a superior system. You would get people from other faiths and non-faith people, they would want to be part of this because they wouldn't be just losing their money every month, but getting something back. We need Muslim insurance companies. All you people in here are paying auto insurance. Where's the Muslim insurance company? That could be a non-profit insurance company. That could be giving back to the community. Where is it? Where's our creativity? Why aren't we thinking economically? We're literally spending, we are spending so much money on these societies, and what are we getting back for it? Reasonably good governance, pretty good roads, you know, good amenities, nice municipalities, but much of it is being squandered on companies that are doing terrible things. They really are. And if you read the fine print in a lot of these insurance companies, it's amazing what they get away with. All you have to look is what happened to the people in Katrina who didn't, they had insurance against hurricanes, but because the dam broke, they blamed it on the dam and said, oh, it wasn't the hurricane. And people lost their houses. I mean, this is totally unethical. The Quran is about giving people respite until things are easier for them. Muslims don't foreclose homes. Really, bank robbers don't chase people out of their homes, but bankers do. Really, it's amazing what they get away with. Woody Guthrie, the great American poet, said, some will rob you with a fountain pen. Some with a six gun and some with a fountain pen. I mean, people were completely robbed. All these securitized loans, derivatives, packed in. And they were robbing everybody. It wasn't just the people that were signing those deeds. They were robbing the fireman's insurance, the teacher's insurance, people's 401ks, all these people that thought their retirement were in AAA loans. Standards and Poor, all these people that are giving them AAA loans, and it wasn't AAA loans. And then they were betting against themselves. This is what was going on, complete unethical behavior. Now, if you look, Spinoza said that greed, avarice, and covetousness are species of madness. They're types of madness. We forget that these people are actually insane. And yet we give money. Allah says, "Zatu tu subha amwatakum." Don't give idiots your wealth. Don't give idiots your wealth. Allah says this in the Quran. Do not give your wealth to people that will misuse your wealth. We are empowering them with every check we write, with every time you use that credit card. Use cash. Don't give them that 4%. Why should some middleman, some sara, they're trying to eliminate cash. Who wants to eliminate cash? The bankers do, because they'll get 4% of every human transaction. Don't let them do that. Start using cash. But that's only a temporary solution. We need to recognize that commodity-backed wealth is the only sound form of wealth. commodity-backed wealth is the only sound form of wealth. They will argue, and let me tell you something about economics majors. Economics majors go through a brainwashing program. Seriously, because they come out of it with all these ideas. And if you try to say something like, we need to get back to a bimetal economy, oh no, that's passé, they got rid of that. It was a bad system. It doesn't work. Who said it doesn't work? It worked for thousands of years. Human beings traded in gold and silver for thousands of years. Gold rarely inflates. It inflates when new mines are discovered, but there's only about a 2% increase in gold every year. So it's very minimal. But look at the inflation that your money is having. You know, Robert Frost wrote a poem that he never published about currency. And that poem, he said, the pain of seeing 10 cents turn to 5. We clutch fiercely at the part we think we feel it in, the head, the heart. Is someone cutting us in two alive? Is someone at us cutting us in half? We cast a dangerous look from where we lie up to the enthroned kings of earth and sky. They know too well what's good for them to laugh. Right? He was talking about inflation. 1919, inflation. When Woodrow Wilson, to pay for all the war problems, printed up all of this money, inflating the currency and paying. That's why you think the Chinese are angry. Because they're seeing all of that money that they're holding is being inflated. They know what's happening. There's a book recently out called Currency Wars, threatening about the collapse of the dollar and the fact that we're in a currency war. What's going on in Europe is a currency war against the euro. The euro is being destroyed. The yen, the dollar, the euro, the mark, these are the global currencies, and this is happening all around us. And yet we remain oblivious to it because these currencies are fiat currencies that have no intrinsic value. Intrinsic value is in gold and silver. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gold and silver, it was a 10-to-1 ratio. At the beginning of America's bimetal economy, it was a 14-to-1 ratio under Hamilton. In 1873, they prohibited silver as a monetary means of transaction. Why did they prohibit silver? Because the bankers knew that there's more silver than gold. They wanted payment in gold because farmers and poor people could pay with silver, and it was like having an easier way of paying off their debt. And so they actually outlawed silver in the United States.
And today's podcast is titled Creating Money. This one is 76945. And there's a distinction I want to bring up between making money and creating money. actually, making and creating are the same thing. So the distinction between creating money or making money versus earning money, paycheck money, so to speak. And I'm not talking about legal tender. Legal tender will be the government-issued currency of a particular country, which can act as a form of money. The United States dollar, that's the USD, that's the legal tender of the United States. And for the sake of this conversation, let's say that's not money. It can be used in exchange for money. It just makes it easier to transact business or commerce in the United States, or even different countries. So every country basically has their own legal tender. And most people look at that legal tender as money. What I'm saying is That's legal tender. There's a major distinction here. Here's what I call making money or creating money, and this is something that you can do on an individual basis, particularly because a lot of people, when they need extra money for emergencies or whatever the reason, they go out and might get a second job or a third job, or if they don't have a job at all, they go out and get a job, and they get a paycheck. And that paycheck is usually paid in the, in North America. If you do it in Mexico, their legal tender is in pesos. You got the Canadian dollar. That's their legal tender. You got the United States dollar. That's our legal tender here in the United States. All right. Uganda, the legal tender there is in shillings. All right. Switzerland's francs. But that's just a good, that's a product for the government. That's how they get in on the act. But that's not money. You're going out and getting an extra job. You're going to be earning more legal tender because that's what you agreed, that's what you signed up for. However, if you really need more money, what I'm suggesting is make something. Create something. Create something out of thin air, as the expression goes. Now, if you decide to start a business baking cookies, the cookies that you're baking is money. If you bake bread in that bakery or in your, you know, whatever you're going to kind of bread you're going to bake and sell it, all right, or put it in the circulation, that loaf of bread is money. You know how to make shoes, or you're connected to somebody that knows how to make shoes. The making of those shoes is money. All the clothes on your back is essentially somebody else's money, and they exchanged it for legal tender. So if you're short on funds, so to speak, and you want to get, and you don't want to go to work somebody and then have the government tax it, and you got to wait every 2 weeks. Create something or make something and sell it in whatever currency that you want. Going back to the cookie example, you can sell cookies by the singles. You can sell them by the packet. You can sell them by the carton, the container, the shipping container. Why do you think China's doing so good right now? Because China makes things. They create things. And they sell it. Now, we still don't. All countries have people that do this. This really is not a new idea at all. But a lot of people, because, you know, they're trying to think, man, I need some extra money. Or you come across a big debt that even if you get three additional jobs to the job you already have, and there's only 24 hours a day, you don't know, even with those three or four jobs, you're not going to earn enough to pay the debt. I was listening to a podcast about an hour or so ago, and the number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States are medical expenses. And I believe it. My mother's in the hospital right now. And the clock is going around the thing. Now, she's sick, can't move, so she can't earn the money to pay it back. And a job, if I went out and got a job at McDonald's or even IBM or Mobile Exxon, that's not going to be enough to pay for these hospital expenses. All right, because hospitals are and American labor is expensive. So what do you do? Well, what am I going to do? create money. No, I'm not going to go print anything. I'm not going to go print legal tender because that's a federal crime and I get locked up. However, I can create money. And the basic, you know, and this is real simple. The example I'm using, and I've brought this up several times before. The thing that I will be making, I'm not a carpenter, but the thing that I will be making are little off-grid houses. You know, you go to Home Depot, Menards or Lowe's, or Lumber 84, whatever. You buy the lumber, the nails, whatever you need, and then I believe in the team method of doing things. So the basic thing is we create housing out of these lumber, nails, and everything we're going to buy. We're going to create housing because you can get this. I mean, let's use before I go back to the lumber and nails. It's just like taking a piece of chicken. You can take a piece of chicken, or let's say a chicken, and you can create well over 300 dishes with that same bird. It can be barbecue chicken, fried chicken, southern fried chicken, sesame chicken, kung pao chicken, fricassee chicken, chicken on a kebab. I mean, there's well over 300 ways that you can prepare chicken. That's the same with ground beef. All right. The same with lumber. I can go to these, you know, Menards, Home Depot, Lowe's, and get wood, nails, or whatever. And there's several things I can make out of that. Tables, chairs, and that's the operative word here, make. Some people will get that same lumber, they're going to make furniture. Some people, boats or parts of a boat. Some people, interior of cars. So what I'm making and what we're going to be teaching other people how to make, a.k.a. create. When you make something, make anything. Make anything. You're creating money. And that's something that you can control. How many cookies do you want to make per day and sell them? Some people make sheds. Some people, if they do it individually, they can bang out maybe one shed a day. If they get a few helpers, they might be able to bang out two or three sheds per day. There are other people, because shed comes on outdoor buildings. There's one guy I ran across, he makes, manufactures over 70,000 sheds per year. Now, obviously, on an individual human basis, that's impossible. However, if you have teams of people on hand and you organize, you can bang it out that way. So if you got hospital bills to pay, if you got some kind of giant, enormous debt to pay, or you might be debt-free and all you want to do is stack money in your bank account or whatever, find something to make. It could be websites. It could be e-books. It's only limited to your imagination. And here's the thing. It can be really simple. Really simple, but now you need to think big enough. And the example I'm going to give again is I've used it several times before, and I'm going to use it several times again. The example of Donald Trump's father. Donald Trump's father, the Trump wealth was based on two cookie cutters. Fred C. Trump, Donald Trump's father, had a cookie cutter house that he sold for $3,999, and his second cookie cutter sold for $4,999. Now, obviously, you know, now this is going way back, okay, because you can't build in the Bronx, New York now for that and sell for that because due to inflation. But that's what he sold those for, so you got to figure he built single-family homes for about half of that cost back then. You can punch the numbers into a calculator, inflation calculator, to see what it would cost today or sell today. But anyway, so those were his two cookie cutters, which was his money. That's something that he created. That's something that you can create, be it houses or cookies or shoes or underwear or websites or ebooks. You pick what you want to make. But whatever you pick, now here's the next thing. Whatever cookie cutter that you decide to pick, all right, he sold his cookie cutters over 27,000 times. See, because when you're in, some of you, like I know these hospital bills that will be coming in for my mother, they're coming, okay. She can't pay them, I got to do it. That, like, see, there's no job. I mean, if I wish I can get hired by Exxon Mobil, I will not live long enough, more than likely, to get up to the top of the food chain and become the president of Exxon Mobil and make that paycheck. Okay, so that plan is not a plan. It ain't happening. However, because I got to get hired, you know, I got to get know the company, company politics, you know, rising up the ranks. And then, realistically, the president of that company probably came from another company and was probably never even rose up the ranks at Exxon Mobil. That's just how it goes with the Fortune 500 companies. However, something that I can control, I can go to the grocery store and buy me some sugar, flour, flavoring, and milk, eggs, and make cookies, if that was my cookie cutter, literally. Or buy some lemons, buy a bunch of lemons, and get me some vendors out there, okay, and sell lemonade. You know, have maybe 10 stands or even 100 stands. Okay, but and people do that. It's just not my cookie cutter. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Find your cookie cutter and do it 27,000 times. Now, start off small. You know, find something and see how it goes. What can you sell on a daily basis? And then what do you need to do, you know, to up your production? All right. Me, I know something about selling houses and renting rooms and renting apartments and rental properties, stuff like that. That's what I know. Okay. So instead of me going out and buying real estate, all right, and that, and I'm gonna have to do, because I'm totally anti real estate now. I'm pro housing, I'm pro land, but I'm anti real estate. We're gonna do a podcast on that. But if I build housing, essentially, that's something that I control, and because it's dramatically cheaper than building, and there's a ready market for what I do is in demand. But if I think small, well, if I, you know, build one in this month, and no, that's why my cookie cutter is basically what can I do using a and my regular listeners know I'll play this audio from time to time called Nine Friends. There's no, I mean, a lot of skilled carpenters, and I'm not a carpenter, they can bang out one shed a day, maybe one tiny house a day, by themselves. And actually, I'm gonna just say a shell of a tiny house if you're doing it solo. Or even maybe with one person. All right. But I'm looking at production. So I'm going to play this and then come back to, because what you're going to hear in this Nine Friends thing is the same principle I'm going to recommend to your cookie cutter, whatever that cookie cutter might be. Like I said, your cookie cutter is your money. That's you creating money. And if you create enough of it, then you got to sell it, because we're going to start having podcasts on selling as well. That's a skill set, marketing and selling, that a lot of people they don't know enough about.
I say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell, and everything. Couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house, and it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb: many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers.
Get your money and ran off with it. Cause I done met these niggas.
Man, yeah, me too.
When I go up to Zoe Show,
yeah,
I done met a nigga. And when I look at this nigga on the internet, I be like, this nigga is a crook.
Right.
This nigga ran off with all them people's money.
Shit, he didn't run. He just turned the internet off and went to sleep.
I ain't gonna say no names. I ain't gonna say no.
I was catching 2-pound bass.
Excuse me.
When I was 6
years
old.
Hold up. Hey. You stole some tools from me yesterday during my eviction.
Whoa, whoa,
whoa.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
What's the problem? You stole $500.
You're just making up bullshit.
Where's my fucking tools?
I didn't steal your fucking tools.
We have a form you can fill out.
If you have an issue,
just give me my tools.
If you have an issue, we got a form you can fill out.
No, just
give me my tools.
It's an inline standard. And look for your tools again.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You don't have a fucking house, right?
What the fuck?
Motherfucker!
God damn it. God
my fucking tools
back.
That's
not necessary.
Kick your ass.
Kill the fuck out.
God damn it.
He's coming. Kill the fuck out.
Hey.
Get
the fuck. Fucking call me. Fucking feet. Give me my fucking.
No. Two wrong audios. The first audio, I'm friends. I was trying to find a follow-up. Okay, tribalism. You need to have a team, like the guy said, many hands make light work. If you develop or create your money, it could be fencing, cookies, shoes, automobiles, some article of clothing, whatever. That's your money. You can control that because you can create it. And then you have your marketing team out there, sales and marketing team, to put it into circulation. In exchange for, if you need United States dollars, I mean, you can sell your cookies for dollars, euros. You can barter them if you want. But more than likely, if you need cash, you sell your cookies or whatever you have created. You exchange that for whatever, you know, the dollars or the legal tender, excuse me. So, and think big. You know, I'll give you a good example. I don't know if I've shared this on here before. Maybe I have. Some years ago, I went in with some people. We were buying bank foreclosures. And we were picking up a house for like $1,000 or $2,000. And then put them up on eBay. People still do it. And with the eBay auctions, eBay's got a pretty good, they got eyeballs on eBay. eBay has made and is still making millionaires in various niches. I mean, from selling clothes or what have you. So we did an auction, and in this auction, I'm going to use a conservative number. I believe we had like a 7-day auction and earned that auction. The house went for $10,000. And I was telling a friend of mine about it. He said, you know what? If you did that, he said, just do it 100 more times. And that's the way you have got to think. Make something and do it not only 100 times, not only 1,000 times, but think in terms of doing it 10,000 plus times. Like I said, it can be simple. Landscaping, cutting hair. Now, when you get into the hundreds or thousands or whatever, you're not going to do it by yourself. You're not going to physically do that by yourself. You're going to have to set up a team, because that nine friends thing where the guy called his friends over and nine pickup trucks came over, and it could have been on average of two people in each one of those trucks. Nine times two is 18. Plus the guy who made the phone call. So we're talking about 19 people. So when you got 19 people that are friends, you can knock out a house and make it brand new overnight. Or if you got 19 partners, because really if you want to look at the life of a billionaire, how they become billionaires, essentially billionaires, the common denominator with a lot of billionaires is they got a shitload of partners, not investors, partners. Take Jeff Bezos. If you decide to sell cookies, ebooks, or whatever on Amazon essentially is a platform for people who want to partner up with Jeff Bezos. He doesn't dictate, I mean, he's got rules, Amazon has rules and regulations, but you pick out what you want to sell. And you become a partner. That's the way I'm defining it. Because you've got people who, and there's no shortage of, videos on this on YouTube and other places on the internet. There are people on Amazon They're on eBay too and other places, but Amazon in particular, that right now they're shopping at Walmart. At Walmart, which we can all do. I mean, if it's all a Walmart in your country, because it's people listening to this podcast from Russia and the Philippines, and they might not have podcasts, but the principle's the same. So they're shopping at Walmart right now. Then they're going to go home and then resell the stuff on Amazon. I got a former girlfriend, matter of fact, her and her two daughters. They go to thrift shops. They look for certain brand name items. They go back home, lay the clothes out on the floor, take photographs, put it up on their eBay accounts on eBay, and that's how they're making money on eBay. Now, in the case, like say, they went, got a pair of jeans from a thrift store, a jacket, what have you. As long as it's, you know, they got certain brand names that sell. So for them, by them going to the thrift store, that's money to them. Then they go back home, photograph, load it up online. And what they do is they sell in euro. They don't sell in dollars. They sell in euro on eBay. I have other friends live in Europe. They'll fly over to the United States. Nothing but the clothes on their back, a passport, a little cash, and they'll go shopping at Walmart, Marshall's, Ross, and some outlet stores. And then they might get two or three suitcases. And once again, now, they came over with no luggage. They'll buy some luggage, not the on type carry on the flight site. Well, they might do that too. And then they buy what they want, they put in the luggage, they fly back over there, wherever they came from in Europe, and then they put it up on eBay. They sell it all. They've made enough money where they've recovered their expenses, including travel expenses, lodging expenses, entertainment expenses, and still put money in the bank. But they've done it in euro. That's how they make money. Okay. I've met some people when I was doing houses on eBay, where these people were in Australia and buying American houses on eBay, because in Australia they couldn't find a house that you can buy for $1,000 or $2,000. There's at least 30 cities in the United States where you can buy a house for under $5,000, mostly in the Rust Belt, mostly in the Buffalo, New York, Baltimore, Maryland, Indianapolis, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan, Bay City, Michigan, place like that, in the Rust Belt. Okay. And then they would take a vacation, come over to America, fix up the houses, put them on eBay, and make money. By this time, they're back in Australia. But at that time, I don't know how it is now. The dollar was so – they were living in an economy where the dollar was stronger than their dollar, the Australian dollar, but they were making money online, buying American houses, and then selling, fixing them up, and then selling them all online. So their money was the inventory of houses. But – when they fixed them up, they were creating money via forced inflation or forced depreciation. I mean, forced depreciation, because if you buy a fixer-upper and you fix it up, you're forcing their appreciation because you fixed it up. So they might have bought a $5,000 house, fixed it up, and it appreciated in value from $5,000 to maybe $50,000. Or if you decide you just want to get rid of it quick, what they call it, wholesaling, you buy it for $5,000, maybe sell it for $10,000. Still good. Particularly if you're doing on eBay, you can do a 24-hour auction, you can do a 30-day auction, and they were doing like 7 to 14-day auctions. Particularly with eBay auctions, some people, tire kickers, they might bid, but the real action in eBay comes within the last minute and a half of the auction, where there's a fury of bidders that have been looking at this, checking out the auction and seeing where it stands, and then that last 2 minutes, actually the last 2 minutes is the fury of bidders, and then somebody comes out on top. All right. So like I say, that's eBay. So you can use eBay, but like I say, with Jeff Bezos, well, actually on both platforms, there are people now that have written books. There are probably some documentaries or movies on it. There are a gazillion videos where people have actually become millionaires on these platforms. And there's essentially, like I'm using the best Jeff Bezos things, because essentially if you're on Amazon selling something, you're one of his partners. That's how Jeff Bezos became a billionaire. He created a platform where you can become a millionaire if you come to his platform with your particular cookie cutter that people want. And I'm sure by now there are people that are doing webinars and seminars and courses on how to make money on Amazon as well as eBay. You've got people, both of those, that's why they're popular platforms, because you have people that are earning living and becoming wealthy, even to millionaire status, online. So essentially, I'm going back. I'm following my friend's advice. Instead of buying, though, I'm gonna buy me some lumber. I'm looking for a house to buy. I'm looking to buy lumber, nails, you know, roofing paper, that type of stuff, doors, and I'm not even looking for new doors or windows. I'm putting my teams together, and essentially that will be us creating money. But like I say, take a look at Amazon, take a look at eBay, and everybody that's selling something on there, that's whatever they're selling, that's their creation of money. That's their creation of money. And then, you know what? Get in touch. This is what I love about the internet. Get in touch with some of the ones that, I mean, you figured out they're earning a living by doing eBay and Amazon. Make friends with these people. And basically, model what they do with whatever cookie cutter that will be your creation of money. And essentially, it might not be easy, but the fundamental steps are basically simple. Find something that you can create and control. Possible, once again, like the guy says, many hands make light work. And then start banging them out. 1,000. I mean, you know, if you make a good chili dog, what do you need? How many hands will you need to help you sell 1,000 chili dogs a day? Or 2,000 chili dogs a day? Because if you sell them Monday through Friday, let's say 1,000 chili dogs, and you make a $1 profit per chili dog, all right, that's $1,000 per day profit times 5 days, that's $5,000 in chili dog profits a week. Simple, people. You might be good at cooking barbecue spare ribs. Whatever it is, that's your money. Not the USDA, not the euro, not the shilling, not the Swiss franc. Those are legal tenders. And what you want to do is create your money and sell it in exchange for those currencies. All right, and that way you can get a better handle, and I think it'll be more efficient, particularly if a big bill comes your way, and everybody gets hit with big bills, you know, or if you're in a financial bind situation, and because you can go to court and file bankruptcy. That's a temporary defensive strategy. Because eventually, you're going to have to pay. Or if you're facing eviction or foreclosure, you can go to court, but you're eventually going to have to, or get out. And you're worried and concerned. But I'm saying, take all that energy that you have. Because I already know, like, when my mother went to the hospital the day before yesterday, shit, I already know that she walked out. I know she wasn't going to walk out the same night. Just the people that did walk out the emergency room, they're typically going to walk out with a $5,000 bill. $5,000 is manageable. Now she's in there for day two. So getting a job at McDonald's, once again, IBM, there's no government job invented. I mean, like, even the President of the United States, I'm not running for office. That's what Trump, he only takes, I don't even think he takes salary other than maybe $1. He donates his salary back, but I think it might be $400,000 a year. So that's not going to happen. I'm not running for office. I'm not a politician. So, and I got to create something. So that's why I'm not panicking on that route. Because I already know if I need the extra money, I can create it in the form of, in my case, small off-grid houses. I can control that. You know, if I want to crank out five a day, then I know you using the nine friends method. Because the nine friends method. All right, let's put it at he had nine trucks, and let's say on average they had two people in each truck, and then he organized in reality a team of 18. Okay, so I'm looking at, if I had a team of 18, and actually Pleasant Stevens came up with this number last year anyway, a team, I would have three stations. Oh, well, there's several ways you can do it. Let's say I use six people to build one tiny house. All right. And I got a team of 18. Six times three is 18. Six people per team, three teams. So, if each team just banged out one per day, that gives me three per day. Three times five, and let's say I earned $1,000 profit per house, that's $15,000 per week, $30,000. In half of a month, $60,000. Per month, banging out little sheds or tiny houses or frames. Okay. So, like I said, I've run across somebody. He does $77,000. He does over $70,000 a year. Actually, he does over $77,000, but I'm just bringing it down. He doesn't do that by himself because he doesn't even lift a hammer. He's got multiple teams, multiple partners, just like Jeff Bezos. Just like Bill Gates. Bill Gates got a shitload of partners. See, a lot of people looking at, he made it through the Microsoft Windows operating system. No. That's the money. That's the cookie cutter, the Windows operating system. Bill Gates got a shitload of partners. That's how you make the billions. So, really, that's about as simple as it gets. Let's take a call on creating money, because then we got to go out and organize our team of 18. 314, your mic is open.
You know, I get a kick out of that one skit with the Mexican trucks.
Mm-hmm. But it's real, though.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, here's another thing that you're missing out of your equation. That if you don't do it, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You got to do a material list on each house that you build.
Correct.
And that material has to be sent out in a bundle, dropped in the vicinity of where the house is going to be built.
Exactly. And you got to factor in security with that.
Yeah, you do. I don't know what you
drop that stuff off. Yeah, if you drop that stuff off, I think we ought to talk about it in a little Orlando partnership. It's just three of them. They got a GC, a general contractor, who's in charge of that, was one of the partners. So she paid for some roofing materials. But he had it delivered to the property that they're rehabbing, they already rehabbed it. But he said it was dropped off. This is roof material, and put in the driveway. And when they came there, somebody had already stolen it. Now I'm thinking, I'm suspicious because you call yourself a contractor, you know roof material need for security purposes, bare minimum need to be stored on top of the roof. You don't put it on ground
exactly.
In the driveway.
Well, that's his responsibility. That's not her responsibility.
Yeah, I know exactly. So
paid for the roof. She paid for the roof to be installed.
Right. She didn't know that part of it though. So you're right. But when I give the nine friends version, that's the clean, sanitized version. What you're bringing in is the whole reality of it. But continue.
Yeah, I never heard her talk about that, but the person that was supposed to, the entity that's supposed to pay, I'm sorry, install the roof, that's their responsibility if the material got stolen, and that would be covered under their general liability insurance. That's not
which
her responsibility.
Which is something I don't think they never even talked about.
Yeah. Then another thing, too, I don't know who your partner is. You have to have that type of insurance. You got to have general liability. You got to have, I don't know what kind of entity you're going to have things going on, but you got to make sure that they got some insurance in order to cover you in case somebody get hurt. And they have to have in the policy a whole harmless clause. If not, you're going to be really, you can get in trouble like that. Now, your mother, if your mother passed away, unfortunately, then death settles all debt unless there was something that was contingent before the death while she was alive. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I hear on some of these timeshares, that people are taking these timeshares and you can't get out of them. If they die, then the obligation goes to the child, the children, which I think is ridiculous. People should pay attention to what the heck they're doing.
Well, but Pinocchio, now I'm not a lawyer, but a lot of, you know, probate, because probate is like suing, you know, well, the person might be gone, but their estate is still here.
Well, yeah,
like
but
that,
you don't
with
have
that Michael Jackson, with that Michael Neverland thing, those people, are, one of those guys are basically suing his estate, although he's been gone for 10 years.
Yeah, but your mother don't have no estate, does she?
She's got an estate.
All right, well, you need to take care of that stuff. What taking care of can be done. That way they won't go after that, because they surely will. But if she die and don't have anything, it can't come to you and try to collect. Now, earlier on, you had that one incident about the guy talking about the bank. I really don't care about those people being in this country talking that stuff about we Muslims need to have our own bank and all that, things like that. Because you and I could not go to Egypt, there in Cairo, get our auditorium and start talking about the Egyptian pound is no good and so on, so on, so on. Man, we would get put down in one of them beneath a pyramid jail if we tried something like that.
Ooh, that's deep and, beneath a pyramid.
And I get kind of perturbed when I hear, you know, people that's here under a special circumstance, and they should be grateful to be here in the United States. Then you're going to start talking down, talking about the currency is bad, currency, the banks are bad, and all that stuff. But go back over to Egypt and try this, talking against the Arab Brotherhood, and see how long you last. You'd probably be in jail with Mubarak. But anyway, that's about all I had to say. Today is Friday, and I'm about to wrap up what I had to do here in St. Louis. It don't got cold here. I'm going back south in the heavens land.
Well, what Louisiana?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it does get
I haven't had an appetite since I've been here. I don't know what it is.
Well.
But, yeah, do that material list. You have to take your walls, and you have to draw your walls, your exterior walls, interior walls, show them as sections. You have to have scale. Draw it to scale, eighth inch each of a foot, or a quarter inch equal a foot. And every 16 inches, there's a stud. 8 foot stud. You can get studs pre-cut, too. And that's the way you do your material. You put your plate, bottom plate, two top plates. That's what I use. And do the same thing for your interior walls, your headers,
your
jam,
your seals. Have you ever taught like a seminar or whatever? You really should think about that.
No, I don't want to do that. I ain't got time for that.
You don't want to do that?
Dan, what you going to set these houses on? You going to set them on a flat slab?
For the ones I'm dealing with, we're putting them on, deck piers. I don't want nothing to be classed. Now, it goes two ways. For my personal stock, it'll be concrete deck piers. For the buildings that'll be sold to other people, they do with them what they want to do with them. If they want to put them on, you know, connect them to the ground with a concrete block. I mean, not concrete block. Foundation, you know, where it will become real estate, and they got to go by whatever that particular jurisdiction, I mean, whatever their code is. You know, we're going to tell them, look, if you're going to – all right, you bought it here, but you're moving it to the next county or the next two counties over, and you want to do – for instance, a lot of people are getting or buying these sheds from Home Depot, Menards, or whatever, and they're converting them into tiny houses. Well, what's happening to a lot of those people, they get shut down. Why? Because they didn't check the zoning laws. Because the moment you want to call it a house, not a shed, but a house, then that particular county usually has rules and regulations. I'm preaching to the choir. You already know this. And if you call a house, you got to bring it up to code, okay? And if you want to live in it, in order to get a certificate of occupancy, you know, you got to. So a lot of people, they didn't know that when they bought that shed.
Yeah, insurance too. Insurance ain't gonna cover a shed like
right.
it would a house.
Insurance is not gonna cover a shed.
And the electrical company. The electric company is not going to
Once you call it a house, it could be a tiny house, mid-sized house, big house. Once you open up your mouth and say house, they already got it on the books. How many square foot it's got to be, square feet it's got to be, the electrical, the water, all that. And that's why a lot of people, you know, a lot of tiny houses, they get shut down because they didn't check out, all right, where do I want to put this, number one, and let me go see what the local authorities say, what's legal, what's not illegal, and what do I need to do to become legal?
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought you was going to have a house that you could mobile, drive off with, and go to another spot.
That's one of the things that we'll be doing. But the people that we're going, before we sell it to them, we got to educate them because I don't want. So you got people coming back to people who sold them. All right, for instance, I know a guy north of Orlando here in Florida. Some people have come back to him mad because, you know, they've asked him, and he didn't tell them, you can turn this into a tiny house straight up off the lot.
What did he have, a shed?
He's selling sheds.
You know something, if I was coming around doing it now, well, it's two things, two type of houses. One, I like to have build a monolithic dome, but I kind of like the idea of these shipping containers and welding a couple of those together. Yeah, that would be pretty nice. At least you could put one in adverse neighborhood and don't have to worry about bullets coming through the sidewalls.
Well, that's true, but like you said, now I'm with you on that. Shipping, you can pick them up for like $2,000-$3,000 or whatever. But if you take that idea that you just said, there are plenty of building lots in Chicago, Detroit, or any urban area, St. Louis, what have you. But what would zoning say to that type of extreme housing? Large ones will accept it. A lot of them right now might not do it.
Yeah, I don't think that they could. They could come against it because it's basically exterior structure, a shell,
right?
And everything else can be built to it to comply. You're going to set it down on. You can build a foundation for it, set it down on the foundation, bolt it down, and do all your rough end plumbing and water and sewage. So I don't see what they would.
Exactly. I would tell people. Go to the authorities first, tell them what you want to do, and basically most of the time they'll work with
you. Yeah, and you could now I'm sure you wouldn't leave the exterior the way it is. People can come in and put stucco on the exterior, and some houses stick built houses end up looking like what their container house would look like. It'd be a modern style home. Looking out. We have a house here in St. Louis. They're on Lindo and DeVolver. Lindo and DeVolver. People used to call it the Miami Vice house because that's what it looked like. It looked like one of those homes that's pictured in Miami Vice when they first come on and during the intro. But anyway, I'm going to let you get back to your show. You have a nice weekend.
Matter of fact, that's it for today because I got to go check on at the hospital and all this other stuff. So on that note,
I hope everything works out fine with her.
Yeah, I hope so too. I've learned a whole lot about pneumonia, but that'll be another podcast next week. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the weekend.